Welcome back. This is Spoiler Country. My name is Johnny Horsley, and today on the show, we've got actor and influencer Enzo Zalongi coming on and talk with Melissa about his career, things he's working on, and more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Enzo.
This is Spoiler Country, and I'm Melissa Sercha. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome award-winning actor, producer, director, writer, and influencer, Enzo Zalongi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Enzo. How are you doing today?
I'm crazy, but good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, you know, for our listeners, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get started in the film business?
Oh, well, it depends how far back we want to go. But I started with modeling when I was 13, and then I stepped into and developed into acting more when commercials and acting when I was like 18. Okay. And that's how I started, basically, with modeling, you know.
With modeling, and, yeah.
I developed some great connections with some great, you know, big fashion designers in Milan. But, you know, entertainment is different than fashion. Very different.
Yeah, absolutely. When you were modeling, did you feel like, you know, I want to do more? I want to get into more character?
Yeah, especially when you, like, reach, I mean, when I was like 18 or 17, you know, I was like, you know, photo shoots, casting. I don't like casting. It's such a waste of time. I mean, waiting, you know, it's a waste. I'd rather have appointments, you know? So I said, yeah, I don't like lines. I don't like waiting. And obviously, and then, and it's not very artistic, you know, it's like, yeah, sleep, drink water, you know, have a beautiful skin as much as you can, work out, but it, you know, it doesn't really add up, you know, intellectually wise, at least. So I wasn't really, it wasn't enough for me. Yeah. I have, you know, I felt like, you know, I have so much to give. I have so much to grow. So, and then acting came along and here we are.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, yeah. Speaking of acting, you know, I know that the trailer for your film, The First Secret, has over 24 million views on Instagram, and then the trailer for your other film, The Source, has over like 200 million views on there. So I'm curious. I watched the trailers; they were great. Are those films available to watch, or when are they going to be available to watch?
Okay, so The First Secret for now reached about 28 million views, but it was the second most viewed video worldwide during COVID. In March of last year, First was Cardi B and The Rock was number 9. We started to shoot in London, so, and then we were supposed to go back in London again, and then even now it's not that easy,
right?
With COVID, especially in the UK and all the restrictions. Even if you're a big production, I mean, whatever movie you're doing right now, unless you're a very big budget, you need to have, you know, enough budget to all the COVID tests and people on set, but we're hoping to resume production pretty soon. Obviously COVID permitted, otherwise we need to change things around for locations, but obviously London will be, you know, it will be a lot of rechanging on that. But the story is very interesting because it's about the real life inspiration of Ian Fleming that to invent 007. So I found out who was the real person. And I developed a trilogy and made him a superhero. So this guy actually was from the Dominican Republic, but it was a Dominican spy stationary in Paris. And so, and well, you know,
wow.
it was friend with Kennedy. It was such a kind of a big deal back then. And so that the story is about that one. About that. So about the source. Yeah, we got about a little over 200 million views. That was one, I believe, the most viewed trailer in the history of social media. I mean, as a movie trailer.
Wow.
And with that one, I developing a couple of more strategies considering COVID. I believe that making a, can be a more, you know, a pretty successful TV show. So we, we're still shooting. We have some difficulties, but we hope to complete, season one in a few months or so. So hopefully that we're going to be available some point later this year or beginning of next year. Because we, with TV right now, with COVID, and, you know, it's easier with TV because everybody has a TV or a phone or an iPod, you know, and the cost of a production of a TV show are different than the cost of a whole feature film. And, you know, with some states are closed or open or whatever. And, you know, it's a whole different game, you know, movie finances wise.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely difficult right now with COVID and, you know, restrictions on sets. Now, when you do, you know, finish and everything, are you looking at distribution for like Netflix or, you know, Hulu? Or are you going to just drop it on YouTube? Like, what's kind of your
No, YouTube.
Okay.
Well, part of the strategy obviously is part of like, we are currently in negotiation as well. So with another showrunner, so depends on the final team, you know, that also will depend the distribution because, or the network, because some people, you know, a certain producer to have a first look deal with certain studios, someone are, you know, they have, you know, different people under their, they have contracts with. So obviously I will try to close the best deal as possible. And considering the value of the project, I think we can close a pretty good one.
Good. That's good.
Yeah. Without mentioning name, because even right now, Paramount is opening Paramount Plus. I mean, everybody now is stepping into the game. So actually it's better because there's more competition. So there's more people that you can knock the door to, you know, considering what kind of product you have.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty confident we'll be fine.
Good. Now, speaking of Instagram, because I know that's where you have a lot of views, you have over 3 million followers on Instagram, which is pretty impressive. You know, how does, you know, for people listening that, you know, want to be in your shoes, for example, you know, how do you go about building a following like that? Like, what does that involve?
You know, it sounds like you know, it's a job, literally. I mean, quality content is key. So quality is better than quantity. Brand your, you know, because you can even use your own platform to speak with, let's say, subconscious messages. So the way you want to be perceived by the public, but at the same time, sharing something real about you. So I try to keep my life private as much as possible. So it's not like you can, you know, I don't really share a lot of, you know, a lot of my personal private things, but about the person that who I am, obviously people that can have a better perception. So make a long story short, I will highly recommend great content, persistency, a consistency, never give up, and always know, try to understand, you know, which target audience, which audience are you trying to reach?
Right.
So, you know, if you offer potatoes to people that want apples, it's not going to work. So you have to be very flexible and clever as well to understand your target audience. And then over time, you know, it took me over like seven years. It's not like it's happening overnight.
Right.
It takes a while. And then again, building good content, it takes a lot of time, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Photo shoots or a good location. For me, everything is like literally a small production. But at the same time, I try to be spontaneous as much as possible. But I wish we had more time during the day because between productions, between projects, between my acting, between my medical platform. I mean, I have so many different things.
Yeah. How do you balance all of that? You have so many different projects.
Yeah. So no private life.
Right. You don't sleep, apparently.
Usually maybe 6 hours a night. I try to do my best to do 6 hours, and because sleep is very important. At least six, you know, the quality of the sleep is what matters the most. And I try to, you have to learn, I learn how to prioritize things, you know, because obviously during the day, a lot of things comes along. producer so-and-so said this or send this, or the director did send this, or the attorneys or the contract, the publicist, the manager. I mean, you know, you have like such a workflow things that that's on top of everything that you have to do, you know, to develop and do some more work.
Yeah. You know? You have to find time to work too. Right.
Yeah. I work and also, you know, and that's work out, you know, eat sometimes to eat.
Yeah.
But yeah, got to prioritize and trying to find a good balance with your life, which I need to do better with that, because otherwise life can always be work. I love what I do regardless, but
yeah,
has to be, I mean, something more, you know, enjoy your life until you're young in a way.
Yeah. No. Did you always want to be in the entertainment industry, or was there a different job you wanted to do maybe when you were younger?
Well, when I was younger, I wanted to join the Navy. I remember an official, and then I had that in my head, and then I kind of liked photography. And then my parents said, no, you're going to become a lawyer or a judge or a doctor. And I said, okie dokie. And, and here we are, you know?
Yeah. You're like, nope, I'm going to do my own thing.
I'm going to do my own thing. And that's, thankfully, it worked out. You know, sometimes you have to be bold enough to listen to your heart and believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, you cannot expect to have anybody else to believe in you. So I just took some pretty bold and courageous life choices, and thank God it's been paying off, you know. And I mean, life is a consistent journey, so I still have a lot to learn, a lot to do. So <Right. laughs> I feel like I just started, you know. And more I'm developing as an actor, as a producer, as a man, as a person, I still feel like, wow, there is so much to learn and there is not enough time, you know, there is
not enough hours in the day sometimes.
No. Yeah. Correct. There is not enough. 24 hours is not enough. So we need more. Maybe we need to apply some hours from like some aliens, like characters and from Star Trek, you know. They live like 36 hours or something a day.
Right. Well, and lately, you know, due to the pandemic, it's felt like Groundhog Day, where, you know, you wake up every day is the same day.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, some states are finally reopening. So hopefully California, you know, will, you know, go towards the direction as well at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned your craft and your passion for acting. How do you hone that craft every day? Like, do you take classes? Do you read books on craft? What's your process?
My process, well, artistic wise, I work much better when I don't have any business things in my head, because the business side is kind of like grabbing me. Right. But when I'm artistic, you know, when I'm inspired, which normally happens at evening time or night time, I just, you know, develop some characters, do even some scene, even in front of the mirror. I watch some of the movies that I love the most, and those that like literally inspire me and make me dream and think. So I take out notes if I have some flashes in my head of some project that I want to develop, or I want to do even more or go deeper into it. I mean, classes with COVID, you know, there's a lot of Zoom classes, but to be honest with you, I mean, I need to feel the room, you know. Me personally, I like to feel the room better, and also the energy of other people, you know, energy of other people. So everything is about the energy. If you don't feel the energy of the room, at least for me, or the person, that actor that I have next to me in front of me, I mean, yeah, great. You know, we can talk on Zoom, but, and you can get a good 40%, I think, in my opinion.
Right.
But you're never going to get the same. It's never going to be the same. Yeah. It's like taking a shower with a coat. You know, it's like you shower with a coat on. You know, it's not exactly the same thing. Again, that's my personal opinion. I encourage whoever, you know, it's, you know, what we want to do, Zoom classes. I just can't wait to just do it in person more. And in the meantime, once you learn your tools, because look, acting is all about I mean, on my opinion again, confidence, relaxation, and focus. If you're confident and you're relaxed, you can deliver whatever you have to do. Once you know how to move the tools emotional wise in your stomach, so you can mix all the standard stuff of emotions and you can project the specific emotion that you have to do. Because like acting is like living a real moment in emotion and emotion in imaginary circumstances. So once you are in it, you can do it. I mean, all the people sometimes say, oh yeah, I gotta go classes 5 times a week, this, I get it. But for everybody is different. Some people, they need to learn how to use the tools. Once they know how to do it, they just need to follow their instant intuition and the animals they have inside of themselves. And then instant intuition never lies. So once you're there, you're in the moment, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop you. Once you know how to drive your vessel, it's like, you want to drive a Ferrari? Great. But you got to learn, probably start with the Honda first. So in case if something happens. So kind of the same thing, you know. I was blessed and lucky enough to be in touch with some great acting coaches in my life. And they gave me kind of what I really needed, you know, to break me and to open myself more up and everything. So for me as an actor, it is very helpful when I feel that there is confidence in me. It's like everybody else. If you're on set and you don't feel the confidence of you know, some people in the, you know, I don't know, the writers, the director, if you don't feel the confidence of them, it's like, it's hard. But that will be hard for anyone. You know, it doesn't matter how much confidence you have in yourself, you know, natural wise, which I have a lot of confidence, but I'm also realistic. You know, it's not like I'm confident out of the blue, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's an interesting point too, because I'm sure, you know, as we were speaking earlier, you know, you were born in Italy, and you know, you live here now and you're Italian American, but you know, I'm sure the film industry and the sets are very different, you know, from different countries. You know, American film sets, I'm sure, are very, you know, different from Italian film sets. And it's interesting too, how many European actors are, you know, coming into America and wanting to branch out and do American film. And, you know, you've got people like Michele Marrone, who has made quite a splash, and you are, you know, in those, you know, that same realm. So I'm interested, do you prefer, you know, American filmmaking to Italian filmmaking, or is it completely separate? You know, how do you feel about that?
I obviously prefer, honestly, American filmmaking.
Okay.
The way, the structure, the technicality, there is a lot of differences, to be honest with you. I mean, even, you know, something that we can do here in 3 weeks in an Italian production, it can take maybe a month and a half or two. So, but obviously the costs are way less down there, because, you know, beside union, there is not really a union down there, but there are not a lot of things that you have to, it's not like shooting like in India where you can have like 500 people as a crew. But what I'm saying, directorial wise is one thing. Literally the whole workflow of a production is a whole different, it's a whole different story. I mean, obviously in my opinion, but in my personal experience, but the American way, the Hollywood, quote unquote, American Hollywood way, it's more, it's not like it's more artistic, it's artistic and business at the same time. You don't just think about, oh yeah, I just live in my bubble and just do my thing and boom, you know? So a lot of people are in Europe, they might be too full of themselves. They just do it because they have the connections to do it, not because they have the talent. Here can also be the same, but if you have the connections or whatever, and you put it together, but at the end of the day, you don't deliver, then you're going back home or whatever, you're done, you know? You're not going to get a second or third chance. It depends how powerful your family, you know, whatever the situation might be.
Okay.
So definitely American movies. I mean, what we can do here is is pure magic. And obviously we can use key collaborations with other countries, like, I don't know, like visual effects in Ukraine, you know, using different facilities in Canada, going to Mexico. I mean, there are like so many, or South Africa. You can go so many different, so many different ways.
To be fair, there are plenty of crappy movies made in America, though. Right? You have to admit that.
there is a lot. And listen, look, I think a couple of years ago, when I read the report from the Producers Guild, and it was like they made over people worldwide. They made over 10,000 movies that year, two or three years ago. And none of those movies, you know, never seen the day of light, not even online or nothing.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, it's a tough business.
It is, especially if people think, it's the best idea ever in the history. I'm going to do it. And then, okay, but what's next? Me, for example, you know, you have to think with the brain of a, for example, when I'm writing with the brain of a producer. Mm. What is the trend? The trend today for a studio production company or a network, which one can be picked up more, which one has more opportunity or potential, and also manage production cost. Because if you go with your fantasy and you start putting spaceships, universes, aliens, you know, whatever, that stuff costs money.
Absolutely. You know, very expensive.
You need to decide where to put it. And, you know, if you want to have some visual effects and stuff, and then, you know, it's like mixing a very good salad in a way. So when I write with a brain of a producer, and at the same time, directorial wise, I already know kind of where everything is going. Mm-hmm. So if I end up directing myself, I already have all the, you know, kind of the ideas and the visuals and everything. But again, everything is like, I love better to collaborate with people, to be honest with you, than just do the whole package, because it's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure on set. So I remember listening to Ben Affleck once when he said, when he was shooting The Town, he said, because he was directing, writing, producing, I mean, I think he did pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. He said, never forget a high dose of ibuprofen, because you're going to have a lot of headaches, you know, literally like spending the breaks between takes in a dark room with ibuprofen and just try to shut off your brain.
Right.
Because trying to be the star of the movie and be the director at the same time and producer on set. I mean,
it's challenging, very challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Which role do you prefer more, acting, directing, producing, or writing?
Obviously acting, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Acting and producing, because if you're also a producer, you're in charge. You're not a puppet. You can be a puppeteer. If you're just an actor, which is great, unless you're like a huge movie star and you're very popular in that 5-10 years, you know, that you're up there, you know, the studio or whoever can tell you, nope, we'll give you the money, you do this, or goodbye.
Right.
Okay. You know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
If you're a producer, you can say, well, you have a little bit more leverage, at least to don't have your artistic vision jeopardized, or what you think is being jeopardized, obviously, but because everybody has different point of views and opinion. But, I believe when you have an artist, you got to let him. Sure, you have some guidelines. That's the budget. You cannot go over this. This is, you know, but let creative people be creative. You know, this is what I believe. You know, once you're there, let the magic happen. You know, all those great actors that now they're getting a little older, or like Jack Nicholson, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, or, you know, they're reaching a point. You know, they had their prime. They're still great, but.
Yeah, you make a good point on, you know, because independent films, like you said, tend to be, you know, at times, obviously, they're lower budget, not always, but for the most part. But there does tend to be more creative freedom. You know, for example, I don't know if you've seen the movie Dinner Rush. It's an old classic. No. It's from the 90s, but it stars Danny Aiello. And it's, you know, it's a movie about an Italian restaurant and also a kind of like mafia thing happening as well. And I just watched it again last night for the first time in forever. And it holds. It's quality, even, you know, 20 years later, even though it was obviously low budget, but the acting was good. And you could tell that the, like you were saying, the artistic creative freedom was, you know, being done in that. So I do think there's something to be said for that, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great example. Or look, for example, I don't know, like the Terminator, since you mentioned, that, you know, it, so that the first one was, you know, it started off like an independent film, you know, like, and it turned out to be one of the most profitable franchise in the history of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the Terminator, or there are like so many different examples. I mean,
right.
For example, The Godfather, that's the kind of a movie, you know, that had so many complications when you listening to the interviews. Now, even on YouTube, back then, the studio, Paramount, they want Al Pacino. They try and they push him. They want an actor because it was more famous with a bankable name. And then Coppola was persistent, and he did a, Al Pacino did a couple of screen tests. He lost the, he felt like he lost the confidence. I mean, it was such a story.
Yeah.
Just and then he thought, oh, I thought I was going to be fired even a week a week into the shoot. And I was like, and when I was listening to it, I thought, what the heck? I mean, this movie, I watched this movie literally maybe 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Part one and part two. Mm-hmm. I even watched it last week twice in a row because I was watching, I don't know what I was working at. They were keeping running it. I think it was AMC. I'm not sure. But
oh, yeah.
It's one of those movies that you always get something to learn as an actor, as a writer, as a director. And it's like, yeah, no visual effects, no, nothing super crazy, just the story, you know, and that's the miracle. That's when the miracle happens.
Yeah. And I think it won, a ton of awards. And, you know, I'm partial to Godfather 2, just because they go to Sicily and there's a lot of Sicilian speaking in the film. So that's, you know, I love that. But that's a great example because, it was a small film, I think, to start, and it blew up and won a bunch of awards. And, you know, now it's a classic, you know.
Yeah. And even if you think how even Brando got casted and how they wanted to pay him and not pay him and offer him. And I mean, Jesus, I mean, it's crazy. But I love the craziness part. They didn't have anything easy, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's why I appreciate this, The Godfather even more. There was nothing super easy about that one. And Coppola had like, wow, one after another, like, wow.
Amazing.
So that was my,
Yeah. And he makes good wine. He has a good wine.
He's a smart man, you know.
Yeah.
He franchised himself and he got a good wine. He got a lot of good things.
I really hope
he's going to do something else.
I've been to his winery in Napa and it's
nice.
Pretty spectacular. And he actually has the desk from The Godfather in the winery on display. It's pretty cool. Check it out.
Oh,
if you ever
nice.
Go to Napa. You'd like it.
I've been there a couple of times for some private parties and some wineries, although I don't drink wine, but I mean, I...
wow, you don't drink wine. Okay.
No, I don't drink.
I don't
drink and don't smoke. I don't do any, no drugs, nothing, just tea, alkaline water.
Good for you. You got to keep yourself healthy, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, and getting back to the acting for a second, you know, you obviously you're really creative. You do all of your own projects, but aside from that, are you auditioning to get into anything more mainstream as far as, you know, other people's projects? Do you go on auditions?
I do, but my approach is a little bit different. I like to, for example, if I'm able to intercept a script from like a big writer or a movie developed by a studio or whatever, you know, and that I know that is some good potential role for me, I try to track down who's the director, who's the producer, and who's the writer, who's our executive in charge, and then try to put myself in first position in front of their faces.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a little outside the box approach. And then on my network, I can see who knows who. But again, Hollywood, it's like high school with money. So in a way, if you you know, they're the same 400 or 400 people working all the time, if you noticed. So at the end of the day, someone would know someone who's connected to the person they want to get to. So obviously 99.9%, they always go with the famous person because, you know, whatever, because they have a bankable name, so they can collect millions of dollars in advance. But thankfully, a little, you know, with social, with good social media, that can give a little bit of a projection of bankability in a way. Mm-hmm. That's what opens more room for opportunities. But yeah, otherwise, some casting. Now I have an audition here. I'm going to self-tape tomorrow with a crew about, it's like a love story Christmas movie. So
we're
shooting in the Midwest somewhere. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but this is something that it just popped out yesterday. That I think my agent, I don't know if my agent or manager, but they sent it to me, and I think my agent, and it's a lead, you know, a small, you know, nice indie, but it's there is always potential, you know. Christmas movies or romantic Christmas movies are like a niche.
Yeah, they're very popular, especially like on the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, and all the girls and women, they love it. Oh, you know, they love the romance and Christmas time, and you know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's very, it's become very popular, especially in the last couple of years, I've noticed. So I think that would be probably good, you know, for your career if you could land a role like that.
Well, I'm actually going to start working on my side today. I already read it, you know, yesterday once, but I like it. It's quiet. It's nice. More Pumbaya. Normally I'm more like aggressive or destroying something, but this
sci-fi
is more, this is more, you know, something different that I like. I like simple stories. I mean, good stories that, there are also some romance into it.
Nice. I did want to mention, you know, one of your films, I think it's an older film. It came out in 2010, My Little Princess. I read that it's won over, you know, 30 awards, and, you know, I'm curious how, I think I read that you were in contention for a, Academy Award nomination. Is that correct?
Well, you submit it. Yeah. You submit it. And then you don't know how far you might go, because I honestly didn't know the game back then. I just prepare. It's called the DCP back then. I don't know if it's still doing now, but you make the DCP and then you submit the drive, basically, and then two drives, and then you don't know nothing until is the right time. So I didn't hear for like a month or so. I mean, a month and a half. So I remember I went personally to the Academy Award building and really? And drop a letter, say, hey, what's going on? What happened? And then they send me a letter telling me what happened, you know. So to tell me the whole thing. Then luckily now I with, you know, from like more experienced producers, now I get the chance to learn more things regarding that. Now, what was the question? Was that another question about my?
Yeah, no, I was just curious as to how that whole process worked. You know, as far as like, you know, you submit and then, you know, if you were to get a letter saying that you were in contention or, you know, cause you know,
First of all, you have to qualify. Now you have a couple of ways to qualify. I think one way is to get to win. I think you have to win a film festival, like a accredited film festival, or you need to screen your project. I think was like three, four times, like four times, twice a day for 4 days. Three times, something like this, in some movie theater, like in the LA area. So that was, I think at the time was part of the qualification. So, so one or. And then once you get the letter that you screen it and you paid and a lot, I mean, because you need to rent the projector for the DCP and then you have, you know, all that stuff. So once everything is ready, you just send everything and back then I just, you know, I said, okay, let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
Now, obviously I got some more knowledge, but
that's cool.
We shall see, you know, for next time.
Yeah,
I want to do something for this year, but it was too late when I really want to do it. So maybe for next year, I'll do something else.
Yeah. Well, I wish you luck on that. That's awesome. Yeah. So another question I want to ask you is, you know, part of, and obviously we're, you know, we've had a strange year, so a lot of things have been on hold, but, you know, in previous years or once the world gets back to normal, a lot of actors, a lot of, you know, comedians, things like that, go and make Comic-Con appearances, or they go to specialized conventions and do autograph signings. Is that anything you've done in the past or anything you plan to do in the future to sort of connect with people?
Definitely, most likely, yeah. I mean, obviously it makes more sense if you have a movie that you're in it, just especially, you know, Comic-Con is pretty huge. I mean, especially if you have a movie that you're in it, so you can also help to promote the if it's a franchise or the project that is about to come out, or if you're already being released, again, to support the franchise, if, you know, if you want to make, you know, hopefully 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 of it.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely, 100%. I mean, obviously when the right opportunity comes, but I normally the kind of guy that I let, if I don't receive it, I create my own opportunity somehow.
<That's good. laughs> Smart.
Yeah, that's me.
You're an entrepreneur.
That's very true. Business and producing wise, you know.
Yeah. And you're in the Producers Guild of America, which you mentioned. And, you know, how did you get into that? Was that something you just apply for, or where is it invite only? Like, how does that work?
Well, I think you back then, I don't know how it should be the same, about the same now, but you need to, I remember, have like four sponsors, people in the PGA, or they work in the production, writing letters, what you have done into the production. And then you need to have 2 recent credit when you apply in the 5 years time frame, where you work as a producer into project, which, you know, which they receive theatrical release. So those 2 are the main thing. And then depends on, I think there are three levels to apply. Depending if you were like a producer buy, co-producer, associate producer, executive producer, or whatever, you know. So there are 3 levels, and then the letters saying, because, you know, they want to make sure that you're really, they're really are a producer, not just someone who got the producer credit because he said, I want one. I found, you know,
right. Yeah. You know,
I want one because my daddy is so-and-so. No, I'm kidding. So they want to make sure that you really, that you really know what you're doing, because they want they want real producers to network, you know, with each other and to create magic. So this is pretty much the whole point, you know. Now there is not a lot of networking besides on Zoom, which I'm not super excited about.
Yeah.
But you know, the contact face to face allows you to read people faster, to feel the vibe, to connect even better. What a best way to connect in front to a nice meal, like lunch, dinner, you know, nice coffee. I mean, yeah, Zoom is nice, but I mean, I hope that we're going back to normal at some point.
Yeah, no, I think we all do. Yeah, we all miss that, you know, human interaction in person for sure. I mean, Zoom is, I'm grateful that we have technology to allow us, you know, to do what we do, but yeah, I agree that definitely we definitely need to get back to normal for sure.
Yeah, everybody, kids, I mean, school, I mean, and literally, I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah.
The human touch. And also as an actor, as a person, I mean, if you don't have human contact, you don't have emotions, how can I absorb as an actor like a sponge all the emotions and new experience, whatever else, you know, whatever I can grab and use it for myself when I have to perform or whatever. So yeah, you get the point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're also involved in Crossroads Entertainment as well. What's your role there?
Oh, I've been VP of development for a long time with President TJ Mancini, who is also my producer mentor. And yeah, pretty much, you know, VP of development. Cool. I do even a little bit more than that. I even produced and directed some project for Crossroads before. So also with Vin Diesel, once was a producer in one of them and an executive producer in another one.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I mean, I can't really complain. I mean, you know, life is a journey. Life is a journey, great. You know.
It sounds like you're loving life and you're doing good. So congrats to you.
you know, about enjoying, like we said, you know, there is it's more work in developing right now, work at the desk more than enjoying. But yeah, at some point, I hope that that part will come around, and maybe we can even meet for lunch or something.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we go, tell me something about yourself that I would not be able to find on Google.
Ha-ha.
Sorry to stump you, but, you know.
In which level? I mean...
Just tell, you know, a fun fact about yourself, something, you know, that you like to do, or, you know, something that, like, you know, we can't just, like, go online and search your name and it will pop up, you know, something unique.
I like to go to the beach and stare at the sunset.
Okay.
For like an hour and a half, you know, before it's going down, and then leave the beach when the sun is completely gone. I guess to Japan, because, you know, from the beach. So that's a personal thing that I don't really share, but I feel so in touch with whatever people believe, but, you know, like with nature, God, and all the senses and elements. I feel so, it's a deep moment, you know. Sometimes I put some music. It depends in which mood I'm at. If I'm thinking about someone who passed away that I loved and I love still, or if I think about my life, or if I need sometimes it happens that you might have a day that you're a little bit, you know, you need, you know, so,
and the self-reflection.
And again, the ocean, you know, putting my bare foot in the water, sand and water. And just, even if it's cold, I don't care. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the breeze, the energy is so powerful. And then the sunset is so much power in it. It is so much power into the sunset. It's insane. I mean,
it's a powerful, it's a powerful thing. It's very hot.
It is. I'm sorry. I can be very deep as a person, so, but emotionally wise, to me, it's like, wow. You know, it's like watching a new great movie every day, because it's never going to be the same. You always want to see a unique sunset a day. So that's a gift, literally a gift from the sky or whatever people believe. But that's a gift. So
very true.
And
that
stuff touches me in a very particular way.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah. One last question I have to ask, you know, because you're an Italian in America, and, you know, you grew up with Italian culture, you know, what's the best food, Italian food you found in America? Do you have a favorite Italian restaurant anywhere?
Well, I would like not to advertise, but. Okay.
of course. But, you don't have to give the name, but you can, you know.
There are a couple of places that I know that I go almost every, I mean, I have like four different places where I go for lunch and dinner almost every day, like either or, especially even if I have meetings and stuff, where I know the owners that are Italians, and I know the chef, you know, is Italian. So when they see me, they made sure, everybody makes sure that the chef makes my dish. because if it's the cook or the assistant chef, I can tell the difference, and I call them out. No, this is not from the chef. This is from the cook, or this is from the assistant.
Right.
So as an Italian, you know, some people, they can, I'm going to say fake it, but they can make it look very good.
Right.
But if the look is good, but the texture is not the same, I'm like, hey, hello, what is this? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are a couple of places, especially, you know, again, you never know, but sometimes what restaurants normally do is, Italian restaurants, they normally hire an Italian guy, chef, for like 6-7 months, and then they put like two, three Mexican chefs next to him so they can learn, and then they fire the Italian guy and they keep the Mexican guy because, you know, obviously they're kind of cheap. Cheaper in a way. So, but obviously the difference, it's huge. You know, you can tell, you know, it's like,
right.
I don't know what to say. It's like, if you try to put a French, I don't know, a Spanish person making sushi, I mean, of course, a Japanese will be much better. you know.
Yeah, for sure.
That's,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a Japanese chef, so that's what I believe.
Depending on your training, yeah, exactly. Yeah, what would you order? I mean, I love, you know, for me growing up, my nonna used to make, you know, the best food. So it's hard for me to eat in Italian restaurants because it doesn't taste anything like, you know, what you have at home. But I always love when I go to an authentic restaurant and they have arancini, right? Like,
cause arancini is typically from Sicily.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So fried. It's hard to make. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of places that I can tell you where to take some good arancinis if you ever want them.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah. I love arancini. It's great. And it's, like I said, it's hard to make, you know, it's always the best at home, you know, when your nonna makes it. But when you find a restaurant that can do it, it's amazing. So thank you for sharing Italian restaurant story.
Well, it's never going to be like your nonna because how our grandmothers were used, you know, they used to cook. You know, that's impossible to beat up in a way. You know, it's a whole different story.
Absolutely.
There's secret recipes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Secrets to the sauce.
Yep. To the sauce.
Well, thank you so much for coming on Spoiler Country today. Really appreciate it. It was lovely to chat with you.
I was lovely chatting with you as well.
Yeah, well, for our listeners, you know, everyone, make sure to check out Enzo's trailers for The First Secret and The Source. They are on Instagram. I believe they're on YouTube as well, but I think Instagram is probably what you prefer. You can also follow Enzo on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook if you want to, you know, see what he's up to. So, you know, thank you again for being on. I really appreciate it.
You're the best. I love you already. Thank you so much.
And we're back.
That's right. We are back. Back in the saddle again. Well, I hope you guys really, really enjoyed that as much as we did making it for you. And if you like what you heard and you want to hear more, you got to go check out Spoilerverse.com because at Spoilerverse.com, we have a plethora of amazing directors and artists of all walks of life and editors and writers and... Oh my God, are you a lover of comic books like we are? Then so many amazing people from the comic book world over at Spoilerverse.com. And I highly implore you to go there and check it out.
Yeah, and while you're there, you can check out all the other podcasts on our network, like Bridges of the Geekdoms and Funny Book Forensics and Haphazard Adventures and Nerds from the Crypt and so many more.
Misery Point Radio. Episodes
all the time. Go check all of them out. And check out all of the reviews and previews and articles we have going up every single day for you, every day on Spoilerverse.com for you to check out and to read and to love and to like and to comment. We have a store link. If you want to help support the site, you can do it two ways. One, go to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/spoilercountry, or go to our store link in the middle of the site there and get a t-shirt, a face mask, a hoodie, something, look fly as hell, and help support the site when you do that, because we get a dollar or two. And, you know, maybe you want to talk to us. If you do, you can do it, you know, obviously on all the socials, but if you go to scpod.us/discord, you can join our public Discord server and come chat with us all day long.
I couldn't say it better myself, dude.
There you go.
You just mouthed out a ton of information at once, and really I hope you guys enjoy what you're hearing, because we're working our butts off to bring it to you.
We are.
I guess there's only one left thing. Yeah, I'm gonna go with it. There's only one left thing left to do.
What's that?
In oceans of podcasts, we are Cthulhu, as Cthulhu compels you to do. Open the mind and read more.
Spoiler Country.